I wanted to talk today about the mind of faith, what faith is in Buddhism, or at least in Zen. And what got me interested in this was is a sentence from Reverend Master's book, Buddha Recognizes Buddha. And I read this sentence and I thought, whoa, I mean, it just really hit me as a very true thing. And in his book, he says that faith is the willingness to let everything in the universe show itself completely. Now, this is very different from the Christian view of faith. And it immediately connects us to meditation, because this is what we're doing when we meditate. We're being willing to let everything in the universe show itself completely. You know, we're not, aiming for bliss. We're not aiming for the high. Well, maybe when you started out, you thought that's what you were doing. So, if you're still here, you've probably learned that it's a little more complex than that. So if faith is the willingness to let everything show itself completely, this means that faith doesn't oppose anything, or exclude anything or anybody, any thought or any feeling. There's no opposition in faith. There's also no opposition in Zazen. We put down the judgments about who we are or who we think somebody else is. And we're just sitting. You know, so we're not opposing. We're letting things arise. You know, we're letting them pass through. Another way of saying this is when Dogen says, to be enlightened is to be intimate with all things. This is the same thing. To deeply know, accept, embrace all things, including doubt, including all those icky things we don't want to look at, like despair or worry or laziness, and being willing to look at all these things means that we become intimate with them, and it's this intimacy that moves us past the opposition. That moves us past our personal preferences, our ideas of what we think we must have or we must not have. Another way of expressing the connection between faith and Zazen is to say that faith is to sit with conditions as they are, without seeking anything, even enlightenment. And to sit with ourselves as we are. This is very important, to sit with ourselves as we are. From my experience, you can spend a lot of time not sitting with yourself as you are. Trying to propel yourself into another place, or trying to push away the things that you think are not acceptable in you. And when we do this, we're really wasting our time. So, there's a lot of wasted time under the bridge for me. I don't know about you, but, we don't come to our cushions and sit down and begin berating ourselves and hitting ourselves over the head because we should be this or that. If we're doing this, we're not understanding faith, because faith extends to ourselves as well, that we allow everything in, without opposition. Another thing that Reverend Master mentions in his chapter on faith is that faith, like Buddha nature, like enlightenment, is not something that's realized, it's something that's actualized. In other words, it's always there. We just have to, sit down and realize it. you know it for ourselves. So we always have Buddha nature, faith, enlightenment. And the way we see this, again, is through Zazen. You know, this is what we're doing when we sit in meditation. Another way of putting this is to say that Zazen strengthens faith, and faith strengthens Zazen. In a way, this is still seeing them as two different things, though. So I would even go further and say that Zazen is faith, and faith is Zazen. Yeah. You know, they move together. They're not separate. If you think that you don't have faith and you sit down to meditate, you're mistaken. Because the two are, you know, the two are coming together, the two are moving together when you meditate. So out of our experience with Zazen, out of our faith, we learn to accept things as they are. We learn to relax with what is in front of us, to be what I think of as a silent witness to whatever arises, and to accept what arises as the way it is. This is the way it is. It's not for or against, you know. It's just, this is just the way it is. I think when we talk about it, this seems very obvious, you know, this is the way it is. I also think that this is where we start putting up a fight. Mm-hmm. If we're fighters, and many of us are. You know, to accept the way things are, many of us feel, is to sort of give in. To not distinguish between what is good and what is not good. But to accept things as they are is not a judgment one way or another. It's just saying, this is what's going on right now. It's just, you're acknowledging reality. You're not making a judgment one way or another. And this is where we begin, you know, with just acknowledging, this is what is. So when we look at existence and our lives with the mind of faith and accept the way it is, we're learning that what we have, what we're given right now, is sufficient. That it doesn't need to be different. We're not saying necessarily that it's wonderful, you know, very harmful, and you know, things can happen to us, and it's not saying, well, this is all great that this has happened. Again, it's just saying, for now, this is what is, and it's sufficient. Again, because we're looking with the mind of faith, and we're saying that we're willing to let everything in. If we understand faith as this willingness to let everything show itself, how does this change? How does this affect our practice? What does it tell us about our practice and our meditation? When I asked this question, you know, a handful of things came to my mind. The first is that we begin to do the practice without seeking for anything. You know, I mentioned this earlier. Because we begin to trust in the movement of our lives. You know, we're not always grasping after. And if we're not seeking anything, then we can let go of two things that I see as underpinning our suffering. And these are our desire for certainty, and our need to do what I call fight the good fight. And I'm sure some of you know what that's about, fighting the good fight. I'll say a bit more about that later. So instead of certainty, if we're moving from a position of faith, instead of certainty, we embrace not knowing. You know, we're willing to say, this is not sure. We all want to cling to certainty. We all want to say, okay, I have figured this out. You know, I believe this. I would say no matter how much our mind wants certainty, it's very important to say to yourself, not sure. I think that's an expression from Suzuki Roshi, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. But rather than going for certainty, you know, rather than letting your mind grab on to something as a sure thing, don't fall in love with conditions, you know. Don't fall in love with your version of the truth. You know, it's very easy for us to see our version of the truth as the truth. And then we stop moving, basically. You know, then we're no longer moving with the flow of things. And we're no longer standing by our faith, you know, moving from a position of faith. Another thing that happens when we understand our faith is that we no longer hold on to or push away things, and so we can be present. And we begin to do what I call investigate our experience rather than responding. You know, rather than reacting to things around us, we investigate things around us. Again, we're doing this when we meditate, and we're not doing it in like asking ourselves questions about what is going on, and we're not doing it in this way, investigating in that way. We're being open to what's there and, you know, saying, you know, we can ask, what is this? But it's not a rational, intellectual question. It's just, what is here? I am open to what is here. So if we're not reacting, you know, we can stop the fight. This is going back to the fight. So often we put our energy into fighting, again, into fighting reality. But we put it out there and we say, you know, we're fighting our family or our co-workers or our government or, you know, our friends. Because basically we think that they can't get it quite right. And we're going to show them. We're going to show them the error of their ways. Very familiar. So we can drop all that. Again, if we're letting everything show itself completely, we can drop all that. And instead, we begin to face ourselves, which is what we're doing when we meditate. You know, we're not sitting there going through scenarios about how everybody else is getting it wrong. Well, we may do that a bit. If we're doing that, that's one of the things you're letting show itself. And look at how it makes you feel. Look how it's a diversion. So instead we begin to face ourselves, our loneliness, our fears, our addictions, our worries. And when we begin to face these things that we really would rather not see, this is when the movement begins. Everything begins to shift at this point. And we see that there's not a need to fight anymore. You know, we're just sitting down looking at ourselves. We don't need to fight ourselves or anyone or anything else. When we realize this, when we do this, when we investigate our experience, we begin to drop our storyline, what I see as our storyline. And I don't know about you, but I can spend a lot of time in meditation telling myself a story. Mm-hmm. Usually about myself. Mm-hmm. Or about somebody else. Yeah. But it's really just a story. You know, and we start going deeper and see that nothing really supports this story that we tell ourselves. We can begin to ask who we are. You know, are we our feelings? Are we our thoughts? Are we our story? You know, I'm Reverend Oriana. I'm an American monk, you know, living in England. I like warm weather. I believe, you know, at times I believe I must have X, Y, and Z in order to be happy. When we drop the storyline, we can drop all that as well. You know, and ask, is this who I am? And to see that these ideas about myself are just constructs. You know, they're just something that I've constructed from my history, from my karma. And we begin to see what is underneath the storyline. I read recently, the story we make up about ourselves starts to take up space otherwise reserved for reality.
That's nice.
This was not in a Buddhist book. I just came across it somewhere, something I was reading. And again, I just went that, you know, I wrote it down and put it on a board in my room because I thought it was so to the point that the story we make up about ourselves starts to take up space normally reserved for reality. And we begin to think it is reality, our story that we tell ourselves. And we can ask, what is deeper than story? And we begin to see that the me that we have built up is really just a fragile fabrication. You know, it's really nothing. And we begin to relate to things as they actually are. To abide in reality rather than to abide in our fantasies or ideas or our self-image. So what I'm talking about, this expression of faith, you know, this dropping of our stories, are, you know, they this and they that, and I must have this and I must not have that. Mm-hmm. And turning inward to study the self is not an easy thing. It can take a very long time to get down to it. You know, it can take a very long time in terms of meditation to really get down to it and say, okay, I'm actually going to do this. It's very easy to distract and divert and to think that something else is important or that we should be doing something else when we meditate. And I think it requires a very radical giving up of these constructs that we build, that we have, you know, we have spent many years painstakingly building, you know, the constructs that support our ideas about who we are. You know, Dogen talks about giving up everything. It's this. Yeah. A lot of the external things may be difficult to give up. You know, things that we love, things that we like to do. But it's this that's the real nub of it. Giving up our construct that we have built to support the idea of who we are. Because otherwise, we're stuck in that idea. Mm-hmm. So as we free our minds and ourselves from the desire to attain something, you know, the truth that has always been there begins to reveal itself. We don't need to go looking for it. It begins to reveal itself. And we don't know this truth. We can't know this truth if we are caught up in the idea of attainment, of me having something, of me being something, of me doing something. This is so central to all of us, you know, that we think we must be this, we think we must do that. You know, this, when this goes, the truth will reveal itself. So when we sit as we truly are and invite everything in, we're giving live expression to faith. And everything flows both inward to reflection from this and outward to activity from this. When I was making notes for this talk, I called it the mind of faith is the mind of Zazen. And that's where I ended up. You know, I was asking a question about faith and I ended up with Zazen.